Hey guys, so I'm going to wait a couple of more minutes in case anyone else wants to join, but I put a link in the chat for this voice channel so that you guys could make a copy of a handout I made that we'll be going through today. For those of you that just joined the call, I put a link to a handout in the chat. So if you could make a copy of it, I think the link works that like when you click on it, it'll prompt you to make a copy of it. So then you'll have one for yourself. It's not like 100% necessary for you to follow along with the handout since I'll be going through it sequentially, but it might be a good resource anyway for you guys to just have a copy of it yourself. And I think I'll start officially at 3:05. So give it a couple of minutes in case anyone else wants to pop in, and then we'll be ready to go. One more minute, and yeah, if anyone hasn't downloaded the handout that I linked in the chat, you can go ahead and do that now if you'd like.
Hey, where's the handout? I'm looking for my phone. So is it
So the voice channel that we're in right now should have a chat associated with it. I'm not really familiar with like the mobile interface though. But it should kind of look like a speech bubbly kind of thing. Maybe I can put the link in the tutoring chat channel in case it's not findable here, but it would be nice if you could have access to it anyway, the chat, because we might use it interactively.
Yeah, if you don't mind dropping it there, I'll download it.
Yeah, it'll take you to like a Google Docs page that I'll ask you to make a copy of it.
Right, sign in and all that.
Everyone has their own copy of it. So if you want to like take any notes on it or anything, like that's your copy, you know?
For sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so 3:05. So we can get started now. So my first question for you all is, what is a conditional? Does anyone want to give me like what you think a conditional is, either out loud or you can put it in the chat. Okay, no worries if not, but a conditional is a statement with two conditions that have a relationship with one another, and that particular relationship is that if something happens, the other thing has to happen or has to have happened, right? So that means like in all cases where a certain condition occurs, another one must occur without exception unless they tell you otherwise, like unless they say most of the time. So the if statement introduces the sufficient condition and then introduces the necessary condition. So all conditionals can be expressed in like a, yeah, it, all conditionals can be expressed as like a if that, if S, then N. If S is true, then N must be true. So another way, like a few other ways to phrase this that you'll see in the handout are anytime S, then N, or S requires N. So let's see if we can think of like one example, maybe, what comes next is conditional identification practice. So like, let's take that first sentence. If you cannot type, you will struggle to use a computer. I'm gonna put that down in the chat for anyone that doesn't have the handout. So can someone identify for me which one of these is the sufficient condition and which one is the necessary condition? I know this sentence doesn't have then in it, but I think you won't be able to figure it out based on the logic of the sentence.
Can you repeat that? Like,
yeah, if you cannot type, you will struggle to use a computer. Feel free to respond verbally or in the chat.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
I'll have a go at it. Oh,
no, you can go
ahead.
You
want to go?
Okay, you got it.
I would think the sufficient would be if you cannot type, and the necessary would be you will struggle to use a computer.
Right. So sufficient is typing. Necessary is struggling to use a computer. Right. And Abby, yeah, your response from earlier, exactly right. When one thing happens, another thing happens. But you can also rephrase, if you cannot type, you will struggle to use a computer in different ways. It doesn't have to be if this, then that. It can also be, well, if S is true, then N must be true, right? If S, you cannot type, is true, then you will struggle with a computer. That must be true. Or anytime you cannot type, then you'll struggle with a computer. Or, yeah, so, or it would be like, in the S requires N like works better for certain sentences, but it's also like a valid way to rephrase this. But it might not be as intuitive for this sentence, like typing requires struggling to use a computer. It's a little bit harder for that one, but I think in some cases when they're like, oh, for this to be the case, this must be the case, sometimes that's nicely rephrased with the requires. So let's do some conditional identification practice. I'm gonna paste 4 sentences into the chat that are also on the handout. I'm gonna number them the way they are on the handout, which is 2, 3, 4, and 5, because I just used the first one. So maybe you guys can put down in the chat, like if each one is conditional or not conditional. Like you can do it like yes, no, or like however you want.
So is there milk in there technically bad, even though we're having the open today?
I see that a few people are still typing, so I will hang tight, sit tight to wait for a few more responses, and then we can go over each of these. So YX, why did you respond yes to number two being conditional? Because you responded differently than some of the other people that have responded to this. So I would love to hear what your take was it on that one being conditional, because I agree that that one is conditional.
I just tried to use the if this, then that method. So if the felonies, if they are convicted, then they cannot be appointed to the council. So right. Like be appointed to the council, they cannot be convicted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so felony convicts cannot be appointed to the council. So yeah, exactly. So you can rephrase that with if S, then N, right? So let's see, what about Jennifer? Maybe you can explain why number three is conditional, if you would be willing to unmute or type in the chat your reasoning.
Yeah, I'll do it. I said if they are under 18, then they're not a professor.
Right. There are no professors under the age of 18. So yeah, that is conditional because you're saying something about anyone that is a professor, right? So if they're a professor, then they could not possibly be under the age of 18. For number four, Abby, would you like to explain why that one is yes? In the chat or verbally, or if not, it's okay.
If people who participate in tennis include people who are, I don't know. If people who participate in tennis, I don't know how to explain it.
Number four is the third sentence. So the magazine can include only articles submitted.
I can say if the magazine include only articles submitted, I'm not sure how to say it, but I think because there are two possible conditions, that's why I chose that, but I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think the word I would pick out would be only, right? Like that means right. Every single article that is actually potentially included. Every single article that is included must have been submitted more than 10 days before each issue's publication. So if it's included, then it must have been submitted early enough. What about for number five? So people who participate in tennis include people who are senior citizens. So by and large, you guys responded no to this, but what was your reasoning for that? Feel free to just pop it in the chat because several people responded to no to that one.
Okay, I'll just say reasoning that I feel like is the answer. It says include, but there's no words or indicators to indicate anything that's necessary.
Right, yeah. So, this says, people that participate in tennis include some people that are senior citizens, but you don't really know if, just because you participate in tennis, that doesn't really mean that you have to be a senior citizen. It could be, literally anybody else. So, because this isn't, a straightforward, if you're this thing, then that other thing has to be true. This one's not a conditional. whereas the other three sentences were all conditionals because there was a group that you could say, if you definitely belong to this group, then that other characteristic also has to be true. Though when we went through these, I think there was a little bit of confusion between like the sufficient and necessary conditions. So maybe we can go over what makes a sufficient condition sufficient and what makes a necessary condition necessary. So I'll give a minute in case anyone wants to pop any ideas in the chat for why. And then I'll give you an analogy to understand what makes something a sufficient condition versus what makes something a necessary condition. Does anyone want to give it a go? Okay, no worries. So a sufficient condition, I would say, is sufficient because if it's true, it guarantees the truth of the necessary condition. Whereas a necessary condition is necessary because it must be true. Its truth is required whenever the sufficient condition is true. So when you think of the word sufficient and necessary, sufficient is like, oh, it's enough, right? So that means like it's enough to make the other thing true. And a necessary condition is like, oh, the truth of this is mandated by the other one. So it's necessarily true if the other thing is true. Oh, sorry about that. This is in the handout, but I will definitely slow down a little bit. Sorry, I haven't like run one of these before, so I'm sorry if the pacing is a little bit off. Definitely tell me if I'm going too fast on any of this stuff. Yeah. So let's say I have, like, if I give this sentence, lighting a match is sufficient for producing a flame, then maybe this will help you figure out like which one is the sufficient condition. Can someone give me like a diagram that is like, if A, then B for this sentence? Right, lighting a match is sufficient to produce a flame. But it's not necessary, right? Because there's all these other ways you could produce a flame. Like you could like turn on your stove. That's not lighting a match, but it would produce a flame if you have a gas stove. What about, then you would have a sentence like, oxygen is necessary for the flame. Like the flame needs oxygen, right? You can rephrase this as the flame needs oxygen. So I've written these two sentences with the word sufficient and with the word necessary to show you exactly why these are called that, but they could be written the other way. Exactly right. So flame is sufficient while oxygen is necessary because the flame cannot exist without the oxygen. So if there's no oxygen, then there couldn't possibly be a flame. But just because you have oxygen, like there's oxygen in the air all around us all of the time. So oxygen is clearly not sufficient for producing a flame. Otherwise, everything would always be on fire. So I'm going to copy paste my analogy down here too, in case anyone doesn't have the handout. So if you have A arrow B, then A is sufficient and B is necessary, which means if A happens, then B must happen. And if B doesn't happen, then A could not possibly happen. But if then isn't the only conditional structure we have out there, as you can see from some of these other sentences that I've written, right? So can we brainstorm some indicator words? So an indicator word would be something that tells you this sentence is definitely a conditional. So if you see the word if, you're like, okay, this sentence is definitely a conditional and what comes after is the sufficient condition. And if you see then, you kind of know that that should probably be a necessary condition. But what are some other words that could signal to you that a sentence is a conditional sentence? Right, only would be a really good example. Yeah, needs, requires, and guarantees. But needs, requires, and guarantees, all of those indicate necessary conditions, right? So what about some that indicate sufficient conditions other than if? How about a word like all? Yeah, or provided that. But then, well, that actually introduces a necessary condition again, right? Like in the if-then structure, you could potentially not have like both parts of it, but then usually introduces a necessary condition. But what about a word like all, or a word like every, or each? Like if you said, each professor has a doctorate degree. How would you diagram the sentence, each professor has a doctorate degree?
Who did that? The guy who had a dinosaur pencil. He drew golden on this, so he made a golden pencil. Hey, that was Joshua! Joshua's the one that did
it. Right. If you're a professor, then you have a doctorate degree. So each introduces a category, and that category is always going to be the sufficient condition. And then the thing that comes after that would be the necessary condition. So let me give you a list of sufficient indicator words. And a list of necessary indicator words. What are some ways that we can group these words so that we can see some patterns? Like, let me give an example. I think for sufficient, the words all, each, every, and any are all kind of similar. And that's because all of them talk about, oops, I meant to write any. All of them talk about, like, every single one of the members in a certain group, or like every single thing belonging in a certain category. Right, they speak about quantity, but they speak about quantity in a certain way, right? Because if you just said, like, some professors have doctorate degrees, this isn't nearly as strong as saying all professors have doctorate degrees, or even professors have doctorate degrees. So it's something about like knowing that every single member of this specific condition necessarily has some other characteristic that is the necessary condition. Right, yeah, it's very definite. It's a very definite category if it's all of them, each of them, like every single one of them, right? So that's one way to think about it. So do you guys think that there's some other categories that you could make out of these terms that might help you recognize new ones? Whether it's in the necessary or the sufficient, like see if there's any similarities between these words that you can pick out. I know, Abby, earlier you suggested needs, requires, and guarantees, all as words that are conditional indicator words, and those are all necessary. So I think like what's similar about those words is they all talk about a requirement. They all talk about something being necessary. So similarly, like indispensable, precondition. Right, these also seem to fall in that category where, like, this thing, we must have it. So I think my groupings, yeah, only, must, requires, guarantees. Like, you have to have these things, so only if this is true, right? Can that other thing be true? So it really shows you, like, that core idea of something being required. So even if there isn't one of the indicator words that we've like particularly listed out here, which might be the case in certain passages on the LSAT, if you really understand the groupings of these that make something like a sufficient condition or a necessary condition, it'll be easier for you to identify them even if like it's not entirely clear or it's not even a like conditional indicator word that you've seen before, you'll still be able to identify it. For me, for sufficient, I have this one group that I think is like talking about a certain case, which is if, when, provided, had, assuming. So you're like, well, hypothetically in this case, then something has to happen, right? So that's one of my sufficient categories that I tend to have in my head. And the other one I already talked about was every, each, all, and any. And then another one that I have standing alone is no and none. We're going to talk about negation in a little bit, so we'll discuss this, but this one is a sufficient indicator term. For necessary, this group is like a clear demonstration of necessity is like a then, or only and only if, must, essential, requires, guarantee. These are all necessary indicator words, but some other necessary indicator words that might be a little bit less intuitive is the category of things I would call exceptions, which is unless, except, without, and until. And these four are all diagrammed in the same way, so we're also going to go over them in a little bit. I put if not in parentheses because that's one way to think about what unless means. But we will move on, like we will go over that as well. So what about a sentence like many students frequent the library? Is this one conditional? Right, this one's not conditional. Why? Because many. So many doesn't tell you that, like, just because they're a student, that means they must frequent the library. It just tells you, like, there's some number of students that do frequent the library, but it doesn't give you that relationship. What about only library cardholders can borrow books? Right, because only. So only tells you that it's required for you to be a library cardholder if you're going to borrow books. Here's another sentence. To get a library card here, you must reside in this town. Right, and the word that tells you that that's definitely conditional, that word is must. That really clearly conveys the requirement.
No, he's right. Because he never.
You also have, if you borrow popular books, you might not be able to renew them.
You're also the captain. Excuse me. Also the captain.
Right, there's if. But what about the word might? Right, so Mingo, you're totally right to point out that might, it kind of makes you feel like it's not totally guaranteed, right? But it's actually that the sufficient is that is borrowing popular books, but the necessary is that you maybe won't be able to renew them. So in 100% of cases where you borrow popular books, there's a chance that you won't be able to renew them. So in every single case where the sufficient is true, the necessary is true. But the necessary can have a little weakener in it. It can have a little bit like of a modal. And that is still a conditional. So that's something to note, is just because there's a modal verb like might that makes it a possibility instead, it's still conditional because it's in every single case where you borrow popular books. What about a sentence like this? Community members love the library.
me.
Right. At first glance, it seems like it shouldn't be, right? And I think for the most part, you guys are right. You don't need to understand this sentence as a conditional. But what if I give it to you with another sentence? So, let me give you another sentence. So, community members love the library. And then, the only people who love the library are good people. Yeah, I'm going to explain. So community members love the library. It just sounds like a statement of fact. It doesn't sound like if you're something, you have to be something else, right? So for the most part, when you come across a sentence like that, you don't need to think that it's conditional. But in certain cases, you might need to understand it conditionally to be able to come to a different conclusion, right? Because normally, you wouldn't need to diagram community members love the library. But since that second one is the only people who love the library are good people, so here's the diagram for the second sentence, right? Like, if you love the library, you're a good person. But then you could diagram the first sentence as this. But normally, you wouldn't want to unless you have a good reason for it. Then you can use it. Then you can use what's called the transitive property. So transitive property is where if A, then B, and if B, then C, then you can conclude that if A, then C. Everything links up in a chain, right? So normally for like community members of the library, you'd be like, oh, that's not really conditional. But if you have a B leads to C, then you can be like, oh, I actually do have the A leads to B, right? So then you can have, well, community members love the library. And then if you love the library, then you're a good person. So then what you can conclude is if you're a community member, then you're a good person. So while that sentence like doesn't initially look like it should be conditional, on certain LSAT questions, you will need to like pick out these sentences that don't initially look conditional, but you actually do have to understand them in a conditional way. So I just wanted to go give you that example so that that's familiar for you guys. Let me pick out some sentences to diagram. Here's one. You can go to the party only if you finish your homework.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah, but can you give me the diagram?
No. No.
So there is a distinction between if and only if, right? So only if is necessary. So if is a sufficient, but only if is necessary, because only expresses like this can only happen if that other, like, it's necessary for you to do the thing to get the other thing. So you, if you rephrase, you can go to the party only if you finish your homework. Yeah, so you could rephrase that as like to go to the party. It's a requirement to have finished your homework, right? So for those of you that put finishing homework as the sufficient condition, think about the other sentence I just put in the chat.
Can you just say not?
And see if, right. Because the required part is the finishing your homework. And what's a necessary condition? A necessary condition is the required part. So finished homework is your necessary condition, and the sufficient condition is going to the party. So that means, well, if you're going to the party, that's enough to tell us that you definitely finished your homework. And finishing your homework, that's a requirement if you make it to the party. Here's another one. This one might be more straightforward. A license is required to drive. And sufficient and necessary conditions.
Who said that?
Right, if you're driving, it means you have your license. Correct. So it's not if, yeah, so the part that's required is the license. Yeah, to drive you must have acquired a license. If you have it the other way around, it's maybe because you saw the word required and you thought that the next thing after it must be necessary, but actually in this case you need to look at what actually is the sentence telling you is required, right? The part they're telling you is required, a license is required. So what's required is the license. So that's why it is in fact that to drive, you need to have a license. So drive, license. Does that clear it up for Abby and Yannick? Does that make sense to you guys before I move on from this sentence? Great. So I'll give another one. So you must pass an exam to sell financial products.
Daddy, look at my box.
Exactly right. So you guys correctly identified what was necessary. What's necessary is you have to pass the exam, right? So the other thing is sufficient. Here's another one. This one's going to be a little bit tricky, but in the same vein, you can try to identify what is the necessary thing. The only way to succeed is to continue working hard. So what's necessary and what's sufficient? What is the only way? Right, so working hard is necessary, right? Because the only way is to continue working hard. So in order to succeed, you have to continue working hard, right? So let's, you can rephrase these if it's a little unclear, but like, if you see a sentence like this and you're not totally sure which one is sufficient and which one is necessary, you can always think, what requires what, right? So you can rephrase this as, success requires working hard. It wouldn't make sense, actually, if you rephrased it like the other way, like if you somehow reversed the sufficient and necessary, then you would get working hard requires success, which kind of intuitively doesn't really make sense in this case, right? This is like one way to check these, but obviously on the LSAT, you might not understand every sentence you come across. Like sometimes there's just a weird word or it's on like a crazy topic in science or it's just something unfamiliar. So you can't always like try to common sense it out. But for most sentences, it's still something that you could do is just thinking like, wait, does that actually make sense? Or like, can I rephrase it into another conditional form like blank requires blank? In order to make it a little bit more straightforward for me to identify what's sufficient and what's necessary. So for this one, you want, if you succeed, that means you definitely continued working hard. So working hard is necessary. Does that make sense? Would it be helpful if we did another example of these, or would you prefer to move on to another part of this? Okay, here's one more. This one's just a little bit different than the other one, so I figured it might be a good example for us to do. It's a little bit tricky because there's another indicator word in there that actually doesn't function as an indicator word. So hopefully that's a good clue. It seems like you guys are a little bit conflicted about this one or not sure. So maybe you guys can put some reasoning into the comments and try to like chat with each other about what you guys think. It is a little bit of a tricky thing, right? Try to put it in an if then for the oops, I didn't mean to make it underlined. Okay. If then. Try to see if you can fit it into an if then. Exactly. If she's late, then that means the meeting started without her. That means the meeting must start without her. The sentence doesn't actually say anything about like if the meeting starts like, yeah, it doesn't say like what would happen if the meeting starts without her, right? It's just telling you what happens if she's late. How to identify that faster? Well, I didn't give you whenever as a specific indicator word for sufficient, but it actually like I put when. So anything that's similar to like in the case that, like anything you would say is a synonym for in the case that would indicate like something sufficient. So in this case, it would be like, well, in any, like in the case that she's late, then the meeting starts without her. So if you can replace a word like whenever or anytime or assuming that, like these are all sufficient. So I threw this one at you, the whenever, because it helps, like if you get really solid at these categories of words that kind of pattern with each other that are sufficient or necessary indicator words, it'll come faster for you to identify these sentences and like which one is sufficient and which one is necessary. I think there's probably a whole lot of indicator word packs on Quizlet, but you could also make one yourself of like what's actually the logical relationship if I have this indicator word.
I guess a quick question. How do we translate, break it down these sentences, so a one-liner to a functional question, right, to determine out of 5 months? How do we make the correlation and translate?
Sorry, I can't like totally hear your audio very well. Maybe you could type it in the chat, if that's okay. Right, I didn't, so for today, since it was intro to diagramming, I didn't actually pull full LSAT questions, but sometimes it would be like, if you did come across that sentence, like, or something with whenever in an LSAT question, or like a conditional indicator word that you didn't memorize, like if you have them categorized in your mind as like what types of words tend to indicate sufficient and what types of words tend to indicate necessary, then it'll just help you more quickly recognize and be able to diagram these conditionals. So I didn't actually pull any specific questions for today, just because there's actually a lot to cover with the concept of conditional diagramming itself, aside from getting specific questions right. So one way I think about the LSAT personally is I think of it as like a skills test, right? Like if you get really good at diagramming and understanding conditionals very quickly, like that'll really help your LR. Like that's a skill that you can improve that would help you answer a lot more LR questions correctly. So instead of thinking of it as just like, oh, like, can I get this question right or that question right? It's more like, if I get better at this skill, I'll be better at these kinds of questions. So that's kind of why I didn't pull questions, but yeah, if maybe I would run another one of these that's just talking about like applications to specific questions. And I know Sammy's like recorded trainings also have a little bit more on like how to apply them in specific question examples. Have you guys heard of a contrapositive? Right, so if an original condition is if A, then B, then a contrapositive would be if not B, then not A. I'm going to use the slash to represent not. That's usually how I diagram them, so it's like a little bit more efficient. So if an original is true, that means the contrapositive must be true. Meanwhile, you also have some other transformations like the converse, which is B to A, and the inverse, which is not A, and then not B, type B. And so the contrapositive is true if the original is true, but the converse and inverse are both false. So a lot of the time, if you come across like a flaw question, like the converse is basically messing up like which one is necessary and which one is sufficient. It's having them like flipped, right? So these are some common flaws. So if you know about these two transformations, you might be able to spot these flaws in specific questions. So I have a chart with these in the handout, so you guys can take a look at that later, but I wanted to get that information out there. And I was going to go over one conditional example that feels a little bit more like, if I think it's like you can kind of chart it out in a table. So what I was going to do is maybe I can screenshot this little bit from my handout. I'll put it in the chat. Right. So if it's a Friday, then she is happy. So this says nothing about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, or Sunday. It just means if it's Friday, then she's happy. So I have this chart. It has a question mark under every single other week other than Friday. On Fridays, we know that she is happy. So what would the original be? Like, how would you diagram the original diagram for this sentence? Right. If it's Friday, then she's happy. So what would the contrapositive be? If I'm telling you, you need to swap the sides of the two things and negate them both for the contrapositive. Right. If not happy, then not Friday. What about the converse? Right. The converse would say, well, if you're happy, that means it's Friday. But that's not true. If you look at that chart that has a question mark under every other day, you don't know. Like, you could, like, she could be happy on a Monday, and that would be fine. Like, all it's telling you is she's definitely happy on Fridays. But if it's another day, it doesn't mean she can't be happy. So that's why a converse doesn't really track. What about an inverse? Right, an inverse would say, well, if it's not Friday, then she isn't happy. But that also doesn't work, right? We don't know what her mood is any other day of the week. So just because it's not Friday doesn't mean she isn't happy. So maybe this kind of example that you can more clearly and concretely reason through, maybe it'll help you recognize flaws like converse and inverse, which are really, really common flaws that the LSAT sometimes tries to pick on. You could do the same for the example, no smoking is allowed on these premises. I'm just going to run through this fast to see if we can get through another thing. So the original would be, well, if you are on the premises, then you, well, actually the original, I think I swapped the original and contrapositive, but anyway, they're logically equivalent. Yeah, I think I would do it the other way around where it's okay. I'm just going to go true, true, false, false. But either way. So the contrapositive and the original are logically equivalent, whereas the converse and the inverse are not, like, not equivalent to either of those two. And there are, like, some common logical issues that might be tested on. What about negation? So how do you diagram a sentence like, no cats bark? Anyone can give this one a go. Right. So for a negation, the thing that's negated is usually the sufficient condition because no and none are sufficient indicators. But you actually want to negate, the thing you want to negate is the necessary condition. So no cats, so cat would be your sufficient. And the necessary, you have to negate it. So bark, so that must be no bark, so no bark. So cats do not bark. So what would the contrapositive of this statement be? Right, if it barks, it's not a cat. So YX, I think you forgot to negate both sides when you did the contrapositive. You only negated one side. Right, so if it barks, couldn't possibly be a cat. So in a case where assuming, actually, well, there's an example on the handout after this that's about assuming you can only win or lose. And it shows you how negation works with these two sentences. And you can see that they're logically equivalent if you say that you can only win or lose. But I might not go through that whole example because we're a little bit running out of time. And I think you guys understand negation. But here's a tricky one. Here's a tricky one. People with no morals are bad people. Right, that's the question. Do we negate? What do you guys think? Okay, usually if it's around a verb like is, usually it's just the thing to the left is sufficient. And the thing to the right is necessary. So I think I wouldn't put it in that order, Abby.
Can you repeat that again? You said that things.
Bad people could also include other people. I was just saying this group is that group, right? Not that group is only this group.
Wait, can you repeat that again about the left and the right? You said the words that are on the left are negated. Can you hear me?
What is going on with yours? Maybe I personally see if you. Yeah, but yeah, let me explain that. So for people with no morals are bad people, you're only saying something about the category of people with no morals. So it'd be if people have no morals, then they're bad people. It's not saying that if they're bad people, then they're people with no morals. It doesn't go both ways around. Like, you can't necessarily decide that. So if the verb is, if the main verb is or are, like a conjugation of to be, the thing on the left is pretty much going to be the sufficient condition. So in this case, you wouldn't negate because it's actually like this category, right? The category is people with bad morals or people with no morals and bad people. So the no is interior to the thing. Like the no is interior to the category. It's not like saying no people have morals, right? Do you see how the no is either, if the no is in front of the object, then it's indicator word. But if the no is inside, then it's not negation. Let me know if that makes any sense. It might not be like a super. I think I did another sentence that has a little bit of this idea. The other sentence we already went over is whenever she's late, the without is normal, like could be an indicator word for necessary, But in this case, it's not an indicator word. Why? Because it's part of the result. It's part of the meeting starts without her. It's not on its own actually indicating that the next thing is a condition. So just because you see an indicator word doesn't mean it's definitely acting as an indicator word. Makes sense? Makes no sense? Please tell me. Okay. I'll run like one more thing by you guys, which will be how to diagram unless, because I started like 5 minutes after three, so I'll run unless, and then after that we can call it a day. But I can hang out a little bit more if you guys want to talk about anything. So here's one sentence. This one doesn't have unless in it. See if you can diagram that one. Right. If not cat, then no meow. What about unless an animal is a cat, it doesn't meow? And these sentences, right? Without being a cat, animals don't meow. Or except for cats, animals don't meow. So, like, intuitively, you can kind of see that each of these says the same thing, right? So if I told you if an animal is not a cat, it doesn't get the same understanding as if, unless an animal is a cat, it doesn't meow. So this shows you that unless is effectively, it's basically diagrammed as if not. So unless cat is the same as if not cat. If you try each of these sentences, you'll see that they're diagrammed same. So people diagram unless, if you consider unless to be indicating a necessary condition, then what you do is you put that as a necessary condition and you negate the other side. But you could also think of it as like a if not. That this, if I do unless by negating the sufficient side, then I would say, well, the sufficient I can identify does not meow, and I can identify a cat. And then if I negate, then I get meows, right? And if I get meows, then or I can think of it as if not cat, then meows. Should be not cat. Wait, if not cat, then doesn't meow. Sorry, doesn't. So you can see that these are the contrapositive of each other. If it meows, then it's a cat is the contrapositive of if it's not a cat, then it doesn't meow. So these are both useful strategies to diagram unless. Does that make sense? I know, unless it's kind of a tricky one. It took me a long time to actually like totally conceptualize this one. So it's a little bit hard to describe in a few minutes, but hopefully that was like a useful-ish rundown of how to think about unless. Thanks. And yeah, so I made a little feedback form. There's only like two or three like required select out of like a 1 to 10 scale questions, and then other questions that you could answer optionally that would give me some feedback on today. But I hope the handout is useful. I did black out like the answers for the different questions that are on there. So if you want to like just go through it yourself and check your own answers, and if you have any questions, like, feel free to reach out about it. It does get, like, harder as it goes on, but I try to have everything also explained verbally in between them. So a lot of the stuff that I went over today, and there's some more stuff on biconditionality and or in contrapositives. And they just get harder as they go on. So if you get to the end of that and you're, like, getting them right, then you are probably going to be good to, like, tackle almost any difficult question or like kind of tricky conditional wording question on the LSAT. But yeah, definitely let me know if you have any other questions, and I'm going to send this feedback form in the chat here, and I'll put it in the tutoring chat for anyone else that like wanted to do anything with it. Yeah. So work on this skill and this, if you get like faster with this, it'll be so like so much quicker to think through a lot of these like difficult LR questions. Totally. And everyone here, feel free to reach out to me if you have any other questions. I know we didn't cover like nearly everything on the handout. So like totally feel free to reach out if any of those are like really confusing, and I try to explain a little bit better, stuff like that. Yeah. Great. Thanks, guys, for coming. Bye.